Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Chaos. I am your host, Krista Bender. And I want to thank our sponsor for the show, which is Ingram Micro. Visit their website, ingrammicro.com, to find out how they can help you with your AV and IT needs. So today on this episode of Tech Chaos, I have one guest with me, and that is Rob Lips from Sonic Foundry. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Krista. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining me. So you are the executive, an executive vice president at Sonic Foundry, correct?
I am, yes.
So give me a little bit of detail of what that involves. What's your day-to-day tasks? Who do you overlord over?
Well, I am the ringleader for a fairly decent-sized team, but I look after all of our customer-facing operations. So worldwide, I have responsibility for sales, marketing, all of our support functions, so our help desk function, all of our cloud administration for our video cloud. I also have responsibility for all of our custom development that we do. So we have a platform team that works with our API to do custom development work for customers to kind of go that final mile on a deployment, and I oversee that as well. We have a couple subsidiaries, one in Japan, as well as one in Europe that we operate those regions from, and I'm responsible for those as well.
Okay, so does that mean you have to go and visit them every now and then?
I do, and for all your listeners' benefit, I've rescheduled this a few times because I've been scattered around the globe. So yeah, I'm fresh back for the Thanksgiving holiday from Japan. So
nice.
I am traveling frequently, unfortunately.
So how long have you been in the industry? How long have you been with Sonic Foundry?
Almost 11 years ago, I started at Sonic Foundry, and I think in the measure of IT and technology, that's about three career lifetimes at one company, almost 11 years. So it's been a great stint. My background is primarily doing international business development for technology companies. So I started my career working in Asia and have been to most of the countries in South America. My most recent stint before here was with a business intelligence company that was acquired by Cognos. Cognos is now a part of IBM. So we were kind of a big data analytics budgeting forecasting company. So what really drove me to Sonic Foundry was the potential to gather data about video consumption. And that was coming from a data background and an analytics background. It was very interesting to me what sort of things you could conclude from viewership of video, especially in the enterprise.
Okay. So you talk about the international component, and Sonic Foundry has been doing a lot of things recently. Like one of the recent technology partnerships you have is with Ramp, and that's to provide expanded options for behind the firewall streaming. Can you help explain to the listeners what the benefits are of this partnership with Ramp?
Sure. First of all, streaming video is very complex. So there's a lot of points of failure in the process of creating a video and distributing it to the end viewer. You rely on a lot of things like networks and browsers and plugins. From our perspective, we've always taken the approach that we're most careful about the content origination, the recording piece, because if you mess up the recording of particularly a live event, it's difficult to run out onto the stage and tell the presenter to start over. So we obsess about that. But what we've seen most recently, I think, is the opportunity for the video market to segment a bit and having people not just be Swiss Army knives when it comes to video, but being really specialists in certain aspects of video. So much like CDN providers like Limelight, Akamai, and others, we see segmentation behind the firewall with companies like Ramp that are extending the life of technologies like multicast and Ramp and Riverbed for caching of video. So everything needed to make a CIO comfortable that the same network that their transaction systems run on can accommodate video. That's a specialty. That's a specialty area we think in video. So we were very happy to partner with somebody a company that's putting more of their focus on that distribution delivery side mm-hmm. than maybe the origination and the management side. And so Ramp was really a are really a great opportunity for two companies, best of breed, to come together and put together a solution for the customer that the customers were asking for.
Awesome. You also have done another partnership recently, and that was with the Nordhoff Health over in Europe to help them with their creation of innovative learning solutions for their various hospitals and healthcare organizations. So how did that partnership come along?
Well, it originated really out of our Dutch subsidiary, our Europe headquarters in the Netherlands. And we have been working with hospitals for many, many years, particularly in education, doing medical grand rounds, nursing grand rounds, doing lots of different types of education requirements within hospitals. A lot of these hospitals are associated with universities, for example, teaching hospitals. Mm-hmm. But hospitals in general now are rushing to digitize patient records and things. So companies like Epic Software are popping up and becoming very large in helping these hospitals digitize. And that's really accelerated a training requirement for hospitals to not just train on how to use those new systems, but also train on safety and compliance related things. So Nordhoff is a publishing company. So their job their focus is really on the content. Our focus is really on the technology that enables the delivery of the content. So when we started speaking with them, they recognized something really early on that I appreciated greatly, which is it's not just about selling or licensing content to hospitals, but it's also giving hospitals tools to create their own content, because not every hospital wants to buy all of its training. They have that expertise in-house. They just need the means to distribute it. So what Nordhoff was really trying to do innovatively is do both of those things. Mm-hmm. License a portal of video that resides in MediaSite to these hospitals, but also give those hospitals tools to supplement the content from Nordhoff with content of their own. And MediaSite is one of those unique technologies that doesn't just manage and deliver video, but it helps, and we have all the tools for people to create their own videos. So that was appealing to Nordhoff, and they had spent quite a bit of time, you know, they acquired an LMS company, so they've been very aggressively expanding around Europe, seizing on the opportunity that they see to provide a solution to hospitals that are looking to create their own, not just buy it, not just license it, but even a step further, to share that training with other hospitals. So Nordhoff is they're experts in taking content from experts and putting it in front of people who need to see it. And certainly if there's a particular hospital that has a core competency in one particular area and they've created training programs for that, Nordhoff could be a really effective organization for helping that hospital deliver that content to other organizations around their country or around Europe. So It's really unlike anything we've seen, but the feedback we've been getting from the medical community is huge, because there's pent up demand to do things like this.
Mm-hmm. So from what I read or think that I understand about this, you, with providing these video trainings for the hospitals with Nordhoff, it was in like the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. So were these countries that you were previously working with before, or are some of these new opportunities for Sonic Foundry?
I think a bit of both. I think what's really new for us is the focus on just hospitals in general through this partnership. The Benelux, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, we do intend to expand it beyond that, but that's a starting point where Nordhoff has a big footprint of sales and activity and customers. They have a very high percentage of hospitals in the Benelux region that actually use their technology and are customers of theirs today. So that was kind of the fastest way to get started, but I think the sky's the limit, really, because hospitals everywhere could really benefit from this. But we do have customers in all of those countries already using MediaSite. Many of them are in the corporate and education markets, so it's not something that we have specifically targeted other than through our partner network of audiovisual integrators and suppliers to what I call the presentation industry that have focused on those customers in those markets.
Mm-hmm. So last month, switching now back to stateside, Sonic Foundry participated in EDUCAUSE. And while you were there, you announced the new media site Catch. So I was hoping you could help describe for the listeners who haven't had a chance to read about the media site Catch as to what that video capture software is and why is it unique to classrooms?
I would say it's a new spin on something that's been tried that's had scalability issues in the past. So we have, I mentioned at the start of the session that we obsess about content creation. We believe that the Achilles heel of video is at the point of origin when it's being created, because many times video is not filmed in a studio. It's actually filmed in a natural setting where a presenter is presenting. So we tend to focus a lot of our effort on innovating ways to get content out of those environments reliably and get them in front of the viewer, make the viewer feel like they're actually in the room. So Catch is an extension of our existing suite of capture solutions. We have appliance-based solutions that are purpose-built to integrate into classrooms and be run with room control systems and the like. We have desktop software for you to author something on your own laptop. And we have video conference capture and integration. We have events teams that can go out and record large conferences. So we have a lot of different types of capture solutions. Catch specifically is kind of geared toward the low-tech, no-tech classroom where you still need automation and scheduling. You still want the classroom to start recording at 9 and stop at 10. You still want it to publish and be viewable right away. But the room doesn't have a bunch of technology in it. It might just have a little bit of audio enhancement and a projector. So Catch is really designed for the technology skinny room that maybe a purpose-built appliance wouldn't really have a rack to install into even. It's a podium PC. And we can install on that podium. The workflows to pull that content off of a third-party device is where we're really where the innovations are for Catch. And at EDUCAUSE, they responded very favorably to this because the education sector knows that not all classrooms are the same. You know, you tend to see the big auditoriums with the big fancy AV pits that are back rooms that have all the gear and the blinking lights. But the reality is most of their classrooms have brick walls and a projector hanging from the ceiling. So how do you get content out of those rooms? Mm-hmm. And students are really driving education to do this. So it's students are wondering why one class is recorded and not the other. Mm-hmm. Why aren't all my classes being captured? So with the economic realities in education today, they need to find ways to record rooms that aren't up for being refurbished or equipped with a bunch of presentation gear, and Catch fits that segment. So it's kind of in the middle to low end of what we do, but it's an important scaling technology, I think, to make sure that a lot of video can be recorded from those rooms that are being ignored today.
Right. So earlier you mentioned briefly corporate when we were talking about the European market. So with the solutions that Sonic Foundry has, you know, do the solutions that you promote for the education market differ from the corporate or healthcare? I mean, they're all ultimately doing some sort of video capture, but you probably have different, obviously like the media site Catch, that's perfect for classrooms. You're not going to go and tout that to, you know, a Fortune 100 company.
No, that's right. Yeah, there are differences, but I will say, you know, many of the companies in our space focus either on corporate or they focus on education, but they don't do a lot of both. Mm-hmm. We're one of the few companies, I would say our media site video platform is not at all verticalized. It is an education and communications platform that, 60% of our 60% of our revenues in a year come from higher ed, but 40% come from corporate, government, and non-education hospitals. So that's a sizable part of our revenue stream. But well over 50% of our customers by number are actually corporations, not higher ed. Higher ed tends to buy in volume, so they represent a larger share of the revenue. But in terms of customer accounts, you know, we have something like 2,700 corporations and government institutions using MediaSite, and we have about 1,500 higher ed. And we're mostly known for higher ed. Mm-hmm. But the solution is, different parts of the solution are geared towards unique aspects of each of those. I would say the integrations are different. So SharePoint is commonplace in corporations. It's certainly also commonplace in higher ed, but to a lesser extent. It's more important that you integrate with Canvas or Blackboard or some sort of learning management system. When you get to corporations, you know, it's SharePoint and security. I mean, those are their key aspects. And how efficiently you use network resources is important to them. And that's one thing that I would say is quite a bit different over higher ed. Historically, higher ed has had an embarrassment of riches when it comes to networking. So they haven't worried quite so much about whether we could accomplish a multicast type delivery like we're doing with RAMP. That's far more important in the corporate sector than it is in higher ed. So we've definitely geared certain aspects of our solution to cater to those audiences, but we're equally beholden to both. Our solution, we couldn't survive without both of those segments of the market, corporate and higher ed.
Right. Well, and also I would imagine as you're developing new products, you sometimes probably are thinking of one and while you're R&Ding it, that it might be best suited for corporate, but then all of a sudden there's like a sudden switch and you're like, oh no, this would actually be great for education or vice versa.
Yeah. And it's really important to note that a lot of the newest technology gets adopted very early by higher ed and it gets deployed later in corporations. You might think the opposite is true, but it's actually higher ed is a testing ground and it's a proving ground for a lot of technology that finds its way into corporate. So it's it's easy to say, well, if you can survive in corporate, you'd survive in higher ed because of how large higher ed scales, that a lot of those benefits of what happens in higher ed makes its way into corporate. And it's all learning and communication. At the end of the day, it's learning and communication, and those things happen in both segments of the market.
Right. So you told us in the beginning how you sort of got involved with Sonic Foundry and whatnot, but what enticed you in general to join the tech industry?
Well, I'll tell you, I've never been outside of the tech industry. So my first job out of college was in technology, and I haven't left. But from what I know of other market segments or other industries, this is the fast evolving market. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question that the opportunities professionally in technology are there. And I encourage anybody listening to this that's not in technology to consider jumping in. And it's a wild ride. It's fast paced. It's challenging to stay up on what's conventional and unconventional, new and old, and keep ahead of the trend. But I think that's definitely part of the fun. And you can make a big career out of it. Technology will always be playing a role in what's going on in the market. It'll be making things more efficient. It'll be opening up opportunities. But I think for me, I'm here for 11 years at Sonic Foundry, not because of what we've accomplished with video, but what has yet to be accomplished with video. There is no question that even as I brag about the number of customers we have, I think we're in 5-10% of the places we should be. And I would say that for every other video company in the space, they would probably agree that the adoption rate is still really early stage at this point, but has yet to really take off and show its true potential. So I am absolutely in it for the long haul to see how this thing pans out.
Well, you have to be, and it's going to change even, you know, probably from now to next year or within 5 years. Just imagine, you know, what you'll be talking about.
Oh yeah, it'll all be different, and it's challenging as a technology company, you know, with engineering resources that are finite, to make sure that you're developing for the things that have the longest runway of use. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So while you've been at Sonic Foundry or previous to there, have you had a mentor or sponsor that helped influence you with your work achievements?
Wow. Yeah, I've had a few. I would say my father's probably the one I should throw out there to begin with. He spent his entire 39-year career at John Deere Company doing a variety of different things, and that's an example of a very large company. I tend to really like the small, dynamic, unstructured sort of startup companies.
Well, it's usually easier to get more stuff done in the smaller companies.
It is, yeah. We have no requisitions for anything. If you need it, you do it, or you know, to some extent. But I have early on, you know, I got an opportunity when I was just 23 years old. I spoke Spanish, and I'd always figured I'd speak Spanish every day in business working with Latin America. And about 2 weeks into my very first job, a gentleman that was running Asia Pacific said, you know, how hell bent are you on speaking Spanish every day? How about you come to Asia and work with me? And it was a much smaller team. Mm-hmm. But that opened up a lot more opportunities that I would have had to have waited years for at the company that I was at. So that really, I think, catapulted me and showed me that, you know, who you know and who you follow that can help you leapfrog some of these things is really important. So I think from a mentor perspective, he played an early role.
Now with doing that jump, did you have to learn another language?
No. Fortunately for us native English speakers, the rest of the world has really made it easy for us. But I do still really enjoy speaking Spanish. I'm fluent in Spanish. I speak some Portuguese. So I travel a lot and try to learn as much as I can, but the older I get, the harder that gets. Mm-hmm. So but you know, if you use the language where you can get things done fast. This is it's always my, you know, I don't, if I'm in South America and they're speaking great English, we're going to talk English, and that's going to be the language we use to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So if anybody wants to find out some more information about Sonic Foundry and the products we discussed and just about Sonic Foundry in general, what's the best way for them to find that out? Go to the website, sonicfoundry.com. Any of the social feeds that they should follow?
Yeah, I think the Rave publications are great because we're at many of the shows that you folks are at. Mm-hmm. I think just in terms of, you know, if some of the folks listening to this don't have a chance to get to some of these events, the interviews and product features and things that are done are absolutely invaluable to getting you around an event and hearing what's going on. Companies save their biggest announcements for shows and things, so that's great. But for Sonic Foundry, you can certainly, we're at all the major audiovisual shows and education shows around the world, but our website is the best place to go. We list those events. We have blogs where our focus tends to be letting our customers do the talking. So we have an entire webinar series that happens once or twice a month that features a customer talking about their use of video. Obviously, MediaSite is the enablement technology for what their initiatives are, but it's them talking about what they've done with MediaSite more than anything. That's a great, you know, hear it right from the users, that the people that have seen the future and are back to report on what's actually happening. Go and listen to those webinars. It's fantastic.
Awesome. So my final question for you, Rob, is what is your favorite piece of technology?
Well, it changes, as you would expect.
As of today,
my least favorite piece of technology are universal remote controls for home audio systems.
Because they never work right.
Yeah, that's just because I'm in the eye of the storm on that at the moment. But I would say that home automation and home security is my personal favorite thing to mess around with now. Mm-hmm. All of the things that allow you to monitor and safeguard, you know, your home or your cabin or the other thing. That to me has been pretty amazing. Not, you know, I find myself looking at the app on my phone probably more than I should and seeing, you know, deer and squirrels and things walking in front of the camera. But it is it is kind of fun, and the advancements are there. Unfortunately, I go to all the shows where, you know, the companies that do these sorts of things are there showing off their latest wares. So it is kind of fun.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you very much, Rob, for joining me today. And thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in. That was Rob Lips with Sonic Foundry. And I'm your host, Krista Bender. And thanks for tuning in to Tech Chaos.
Thank you, Krista.